have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Psalm 119, find verse 97. That's where we're going to start tonight. Man, what a great song to lead off into this. When we don't understand what's going on, we can simply trust the Lord. And that's what all this Psalm 119 is talking about, the trustworthiness of God, the faithfulness of God. And all of that is revealed in His written Word. And we can know Him, we can learn about Him, we can understand Him in His written Word. But when we put that Word into practice, then's when He shows His faithfulness and His presence. So it creates in us this ability to trust, to have faith, even when things aren't going like we thought they would. And today, what better time for us to trust in the Lord when it seems like everything is just so crazy in our world? Well, this particular section of this psalm is very important to me in that it is, if I was going to title it, it would be God's Word Gives Wisdom. God's Word Gives Wisdom. Now, There's a lot of people in this world that know a lot of stuff. But knowing stuff don't mean you're very wise. I've known some very educated idiots. I mean, that's about the only way you can... They've got PhDs, but they can't pour water out of a boot with instructions on the bottom. They just got no common sense whatsoever. They're very intelligent, but really stupid, you know. And it's just, I mean, there's no kind way to say it. Knowledge does not equal wisdom. And you can know a lot of stuff. Some of the wisest people I've ever known, the people that I would go to for counsel on my biggest problems were probably some of the least educated people I've known. Very godly men and women that love the Lord, got no titles behind their names. Some of them have never had a job in their life other than working at home and taking care of a house and taking care of kids, but some of those godly people I've ever known. Very wise. How do you become wise? Not the wisdom of this world, but wise that matters. It's God's Word. And the psalmist here is reminding himself and reminding his readers that wisdom is valued over knowledge. We need to know stuff, and in order to become wise, you need to know things. But you can know a lot of stuff and not be very wise. So he says wisdom is what matters. And if we're going to be truly wise, then it begins with God's Word. So if you would stand with me as we read this section of Psalm 119 and we just kind of ponder over it for a few minutes. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I observe your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You may be seated. So it begins this section of this psalm. That remember, this psalm is a celebration of God's Word. It is an adoration of God's Word. And it's from the heart and the life of someone who has lived with God, who has been in relationship with God, who has seen God be faithful to His Word, who has experienced trouble in life, but the trouble didn't cause him to walk away from God's Word. It caused him to cling to it more. And as he has walked with the Lord, as he has grown with the Lord, as he has tested God's Word, he has seen the faithfulness of God and the wisdom that God's Word provides. So he begins with this declaration, oh, how I love your law. Now remember, when the psalmist was writing, there was no prophets, there was no New Testament. When he says, I love your law, he's talking about the five books that the Jews had at the time, what God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. And he says, the law that you've given us, the law of Moses, this was the only connection that they had with God, with God's character, with God's heart. Many people worshiped a lot of different gods, but no God had ever given them instruction on how to live with Him, how to know Him, and then kept His instruction, but kept His part of the bargain and shown up and been faithful. So He says, I love your law. And then He begins to explain why He loves it. Why is the law of God so important? Now, I'm just going to tell you, there are a lot of Christians today that don't love God's Word. You know, love is not something that happens in a moment. We talk about love at first sight, you know. And there is a connection at times between people at first time they meet someone. There is a chemistry. There's a connection. There's an affinity towards each other. But that is not love. Now, it may grow into love. But there's some men in here that could tell you what real love is. Spent 62 years with a wife. Man, that's when you know what love is. See, love is something that's cultivated. Love is something that grows over time. Love isn't something that sprouts up immediately and it's full grown overnight. No. Love is something that's cultivated. Love is something that's grown into. Real love is something that takes years of connection and intimacy and fellowship with. He fell in love with God's Word as he walked with God. See, when you put God's Word into practice, when you read it, yeah, sometimes it just kind of seems a lot theoretical or theological or doctrinal stuff, but man, when you start walking in that truth, when you start putting that Word into practice and you see God move in your life and you see God be faithful to His Word and keep His promises and prove to you that He really is real, man, the more you walk with Him, the more you really understand how to love Him and how loved you are by Him. So it takes time and it takes devotion and it takes effort and it takes putting it into practice to really love it. So he said, oh, how I love your law. Because I've been in relationship with you. I've practiced it. I've seen it. I know what it means. And I see the beauty of it over time. So he has grown to love the law of God. He says, I love it so much, it's my meditation all day. He didn't just read it in the morning, go about his day. He reads it, and then he thinks about it. And there are times throughout his day that a scripture or a passage or what God has done in the past and how God's revealed himself, and he just sits for a moment and he thinks about it. You know, one of the dying arts, I want to say art, but dying disciplines is meditation, where we just sit and think about God's Word. Most of us can't sit down and think about anything. We don't stop long enough. If we stop, we think about all these other things I've got on my list that I've got to get done before dinner. But to stop and to sit down and to meditate on God's Word, to read it, and then just spend time letting it marinate in our mind. And to let God to reveal some things and to take time to just see what God wants to teach us out of His Word. And sometimes it's not when I'm reading it, and I struggle with this just like you do, just having time to where I stop, and when God brings a passage to my mind or God brings a word to my mind that I've read maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, to just think about it and say, okay, God, what is it you're trying to show me here? What is it you're trying to teach me here? What is it you're trying to tell me here? And just meditate on the glory of it, the beauty of it, the power of it, the consistency of it, that it never changes. We need to learn to meditate. He loves God's law so much that he meditates on it all day long. That doesn't mean he sits around with his legs crossed and his hands stuck out. That's not what he's talking about. He said, I think about it constantly. God, One way you meditate on it all day long is when you come up to circumstances, you come up to things, okay, God, how does your word apply here? God, how can I respond to this in such a way that honors you? That's meditating on God's word. How can I apply your word in this circumstance? How can I apply your word in this relationship that I'm in, or what's happening at work or whatever? God, how does your word guide me here? That's what it means to meditate on it all day long, not just to sit in silence and just think about God's word, but applying it. How does it work here? How can I do this in a way that honors you? Now, he says he meditates on it all day long and he loves it. Why? He says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. Now, sounds kind of arrogant. Sounds a lot like a teenager. They know more than their parents do, because they've thought about it. Well, this is different. Look at what he says. He doesn't say that I know more than my enemies. It says, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Now, they may know more than me. They may have better tactics than me. They may be slyer than me. They may have ways of doing things that I have no clue about. But I'm wiser than them because of your commandments. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. In other words, it teaches me how to deal with tricky people. It teaches me how to deal with sneaky folks. It teaches me how to respond in circumstances, how to respond to those who are trying to entrap me. God, you will show me that. Your commandments make me wiser. Why? For they are ever mine. Now, what does that mean, they're ever mine? Can't take them away, but they don't change either. Now, these folks bounce around and shift with the tide of the politics or whoever's in power or trying to work in the shadows, but there's no shadow in you. Your commandments are right all the time, and they don't change. Your ways are right all the time, and they don't change. How I'm supposed to deal with these kind of people is the same today, it'll be the same way tomorrow. Your word is always mine. They can't take it away, and it'll never change. Your way of handling things is the right way, and it'll always be the right way. And he says one particular precept that kind of pops in my mind, because he's dealing with people here that are trying to entrap him, trying to take him down. And what is it God says? Never repay evil for evil, but always repay evil with good. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. See, it's not our responsibility to get them back. It's not our responsibility to make them pay. It's not our responsibility to deal with them any way, form or fashion. It's God's job. And that's always the right way to handle it. We're to be smart. We're to be careful. We're to be wise. But let God's word be the guide to how we respond. So he says, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, because they're always mine. They don't change with the circumstances. They don't change with the times. They don't change with culture. They're always constant. He says, I have more insight than all of my teachers. What is insight? Understanding or discernment? Man, one of the things that we need to practice, and one of the things we need to pray for, one of the things we need to meditate on God's word about, is to learn to discern. Especially when you're dealing with tricky folks. It's discernment. God, give me discernment in this situation. What's the right thing to do? God, how do I respond to this in such a way that honors you and keeps me from doing something foolish and saying something foolish? God, I need discernment. Discernment means being able to understand right and wrong in a very gray world. What's the right way to do? What's the right way to respond in this situation? So he says, your word, I have more insight, more understanding, more discernment than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Insight comes from God's word. Discernment comes from time spent with God. We begin to see things as they are rather than how people are trying to present them. God gives us great insight. God will warn us. God will open up our hearts and our minds to the truth when somebody's trying to hide it. So God's word makes him wiser. God's word gives him insight. And the third thing he says is God's word, I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. What is understanding? Understanding is knowing how things work. Okay, I can tell you some of the laws of physics, but that doesn't mean I understand them. I can recite the equation, the mathematical equation for it. I can even quote the law. But if I don't understand how it works in real life, then it's really useless. It's just knowledge that I have. Understanding means that you know how it works in real life. You can apply the knowledge you have to a practical situation. That's understanding. Understanding people and their motives. Understanding body language. You know, and there's all kinds of understanding, but God's Word, it says, gives me more understanding, knowing how things work, knowing the intricacies of life. I know that more than the ages because I've observed your precepts. Now, what does it mean to observe? Does that mean that he just simply read them and looked at them and studied them? No, it means I put them into practice. Understanding comes through practice. If you're taking my wife's physics class, she'll teach you the equations. She'll give you the overall law or the subject that you're talking about, but then she takes you to the lab and you put it into practice. And you gain understanding because you practice that. It's called an experiment. Or you're setting up something. You're walking through that. That's the same thing. We observe his precepts. We put them into practice and we see the practical application and the power that they have and the truth and faithfulness of God to his word. And we begin to understand more. I know a lot of old folks, the aged, got gray hair on their head, but not much understanding. I know some young folks that love the Lord, pursue the Lord, and put his word into practice. I'm going to them for wisdom over folks that are old that aren't living for God. So it says three things that God's word gives to me. It gives me wisdom, gives me insight, and gives me understanding. Then the result of that. If we're wise and we have insight into God's word and we're understanding of God's word, then we have to put it into practice. We've got to put some things away in order to keep hold on to God's word. We can't live like we want to live and practice God's word. He says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. And this is something that we need to be reminded of in the church today. You can't walk with God and live life your way. You can't follow God and live like the world. Paul says we've got to put off all of those things that so easily entangle us. We've got to put off the old self and put on the new. We've got to stop doing all these other things and start doing these things. And the psalmist says that you can't live like you want to live. You can't live like this world. You can't live like the flesh encourages you to live and walk with God. So it says, I've put away every evil way. I don't follow after some things. There's some things in my life that I don't do so that I can walk with God. So that I can honor God. That's one of the things that I try and I have this conversation a lot with people about alcohol. Alcohol is not a bad thing. You're not going to go to hell because you drink a beer or a glass of wine. But what you've got to do is you've got to consider, okay, how does this help me honor God? How does this help me walk faithfully with God? Or how does this have the potential to cause me to dishonor God and to do some things that I normally wouldn't do if I wasn't drinking, to say some things that I normally wouldn't do if I wasn't drinking or under the influence? Paul says, look, everything is legal I can do anything I want to do. But I choose to do what's profitable. Not everything is profitable. If it doesn't help me honor God, if it doesn't draw me closer to God, if it doesn't help me influence others to walk with God, then I choose to put it away. It's not that it's a bad thing. It just doesn't help me honor God. So he says, choose what's profitable. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He says, I put away evil things. I put away everything that causes me to stray away from God so that I might walk with God. And we've got to make decisions in our life. What are we going to restrain ourselves from so that we can fully walk with the Lord? It says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way so that I may keep your word. I have turned aside, or I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. My relationship with you, in my intimacy with you, you've taught me the truth, the power of your word. The faithfulness you have to your word, the priority of your word, the perfection of your word. You've taught me all this stuff in our relationship. So I haven't turned away from those things because the God of the universe has shown me. And the result is, how sweet are your words to my taste. You know, the more you read God's word, the more you put it into practice, the better you like it. Your word is sweeter than honey to my taste. But if you read it and don't put it into practice and you wonder, okay, well, God, why aren't you doing what you said you're going to do? Well, you're not doing your part. You're not putting it into practice. And we get frustrated and we get a bad taste in our mouth and we get frustrated with church and we get frustrated with Christians and because we're not focused on God's word, we're focused on people. And the psalmist says, look, the more I'm digging your word, the more I apply your word, the more I spend time in the relationship with you through your word, the sweeter it becomes to my taste. How sweet are your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Why? From your precepts, I get understanding. From your precepts, I get wisdom. From your precepts, I get joy and fulfillment. From your precepts, I have a fulfilled life. Therefore, I hate every false way. You want to experience a life that's full of joy and hope and peace and happiness. It's found when we spend time in God's Word and we put the effort into putting it into practice in our lives. I've said it before and I'll say it again because I'm absolutely convinced that the reason there are so many miserable Christians in the world is they love Jesus, but they don't want to work to apply His Word. They want to love Jesus and live like they want to live and think God's going to bless them. They want to love Jesus and do things that the world says they need to do and is okay. And expect God to bless them. And they're just going to be miserable. God will not let us live on our own if we're His child and live like He doesn't exist and be happy. He's just not going to do it. Joy, fulfillment, understanding, wisdom, purpose in life, all those things that we want is found in an intimate relationship with the Lord, studying His Word, putting it into practice, walking daily under His authority. That's where true life is found. Let's be those people. Let's fall in love every day with God's Word. Let's fall in love more and more every day with God through an intimate personal relationship with Him. All right? Let's stand.